Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Katie Weaver Show. This is Katie, I'm your host. I'm so happy to be here. If you are listening to a replay or an archive, I want to also welcome you to the show. I want to let you know that you can find me over in the chat room, and you can find that by heading over to 12radio.com, click on the chat button, and you'll be redirected into the Facebook chat. Also, I am live streaming this event. If you'd rather watch than listen, you can do that by heading over to YouTube or Facebook and look for Katie Weaver Domestic Mystic. So, simple enough, at least I hope so. I did put a link in the chat room for the live stream as well, so you can find it there. So, that is what's up. That's what's going on around here. Just getting a Luminous pulled up, but before I do that, how is everybody? How are we doing? Want to welcome all the chatters. We're in a very weird collective energy right now. I mean, are you feeling it? People are just up and down. Physical energy is super low today. There's been for the last few days in the Daily Dish has indicated need for rest, need for quiet, and need for some solitude. Interesting. And also, the Daily Dish has indicated quite a bit lately people feeling emotionally depleted or emotionally withdrawn. So that's some of the stuff that I'm kind of seeing. Also, we are in a retrograde that seems to be a Mercury retrograde that seems to be pretty determined to pull relationship stuff to the surface so that you can straighten it out, whether it's a friendship or it's a romantic relationship or a family member, or if it's something you even want to hold on to it or not, or it could be something coming back up that you really want to breathe new life into. So both of those things are possible right now. Yeah. And that retrograde will be going on into August. So, don't fear it. Use it. There's a lot of be good to be or a lot of good to be had here, I think. So, yeah. Sid wanted to know if I was able to ask Luca and Bruno about the tumble from last Tuesday. Yes. Yeah. So, if you listened last week, you might have known that my two little chihuahuas got in a horrible fight at my feet during the show, which is so weird for them. I honestly, the amount of times these two have like physically fought like that, I mean, they'll growl at each other sometimes. I mean, they're dogs, and they're protecting their things, their mom, their stuff. But to have a full-on like physical fight, really rare. And Luca had actually already fought with Nelly in the morning, which was also really weird and uncalled for. So obviously the obvious connection was Luca, who was feeling very grouchy and out of sorts. And I actually did some work to balance him because he felt really ungrounded and that helped. But it all boiled down to that they had both been laying on this little this pink dog bed that I have next to my chair. And next to it, there's another bed, a smaller one, a little mushroom-shaped bed that used to be Rico's. And we washed it up and kept it after Rico passed. Because, I have three dogs that like to sleep in my office by my feet. And so Bruno tried to get past Luca to get into that bed, and that's what pissed him off. He was just trying to get closer to me. So, yeah, really worked with Luca on not attacking anybody. Bruno was sore. He had a little sore inside of his ear and his little neck was sore. I mean, Luca's about 17 pounds. Bruno is 5 pounds. He's significantly bigger and stronger. So he was not terribly hurt, but sore after that. So yeah, we worked on it. And we haven't had any trouble since. But yeah. I don't know. We're in this weird space where we just keep having all of these weird solar flares. Not weird, but like intense solar flares. And now we're in this retro, like things just feel like we're just surviving them. And I think the animals are feeling that too in some ways. So, yeah, wild. I was just going to check the Schumann resonance because things feel so discombobulated today. It's 23, so I mean, the mean is 8.6, so I mean, it is elevated, not as high as we've seen it, but it is elevated, so there's that. Right, Sid, there's so much significant astroplanetary stuff and so the solar geomagnetic shifts. Yeah, there is so much going on. Yes. So if you feel like you're just surviving it, that's okay. If you are feeling like you're in survival mode and you need to, stay in bed with the covers over your head, do that. I think getting through the end of July is going to be kind of up and down for a lot of this. One thing I'm hearing from you guys and seeing in myself is a real need for rest, more than normal. And I'm hearing it from a lot of my clients that, like, they just feel so washed out. All they want to do is rest. And I mean, if that's the case, then do that. We are so conditioned, I think, to force ourselves to do so much all the time. And there's nothing wrong with not. There's nothing wrong with taking a rest. There's nothing wrong with ordering in. There's nothing wrong with letting the dishes wait till tomorrow. You do not have to force yourself to suffer all the time. I don't know why. I think it's a part of the societal need to keep us productive as workhorses. But there's a lot of shame in resting and taking care of yourself. And it's just a weird thing. I think about my grandmas and what they valued, and what would they say about each other or other women that they were praising, right? That woman just never quits. She just never stops. She works so hard. She does all of these things. I don't know when she sleeps. That's fine if she's happy with that and that's she feels good and that's right for her. But at the same time, we have put too much value on people working and not enough value on people taking care of themselves. And it's just a place that we always have to be aware of, I think. I don't know if that was very eloquent as to what I'm thinking about, but that's kind of where I'm at on that. I think if you need to rest, you should rest and not make any apologies to yourself or anybody else about it. You should just get to. Years ago, I had a client who had said that she had discovered that she really needed to just be her own grandmother sometimes, right? And make herself cookies and make herself take a nap and baby and nurture herself the way her grandma maybe had when she was a kid. And I've always thought about that, that I mean, don't be your own grandma if your grandma was a mean bee. But maybe be the kind of grandma you needed, right? Or a mom, for that matter. I think we all have to mother ourselves a little bit here and there. And here we are. Yeah, that's true, Sid. Lots of fire in the Leo season. I think we're going to see a lot of things burning off. I think that's already started kind of globally. We have some truths that are really, really battling to emerge. I think that's going to happen within personal relationships and friendships where you get pretty clear on who really is on your page and who isn't. And also, I feel like some of us will probably make some changes in the way we do things in general in determining who we are now. I think it's important every once in a while. Organized religion, maybe society in general, they want you to pick a box, or your parents to pick a box to just put you in, and they want you to stay in that box forever, right? You need to keep this set of religious beliefs forever and ever and ever. You need to keep this set of societal beliefs forever and ever. You need to be this person and stay this person because we're comfortable when you stay this person. But that's not how we evolve. It's not how we grow and change. It's how people end up getting really, really uncomfortable. And I think that discomfort comes right before change most of the time. So if you find yourself feeling very, very uncomfortable, if you find yourself forcing yourself to do something that you used to love and want to do, if you find yourself feeling resentful of people, places, or things that used to be really meaningful for you, that has change welling up in you. And I suspect that this period through, yes, into beginning into the Leo season and throughout this retrograde, I think this is a good time to yet again reevaluate what you believe and give yourself the grace to change if you want to. My friends, you can always change your mind. You can. Yes, there are those that do not want you to. But you have the agency to do it. You can always change your mind. So let yourself change. That's actually normal and healthy. Quelly, me too. She said the loss of Malcolm Jamal Warner is really deep. I agree. I agree. I was raised on The Cosby Show. That was my mother's favorite show for years. And you knew what night The Cosby Show was on. You know the VCR was set. And you know damn well the time was hammered out because that was her show. That was her jam. Loved him and loved what he did as an adult, too. It's just really sad. And so sad for his family, too. Yeah, agree. Yeah. Sid said, women in particular have suffered the consequences of the human doing society program pressure. Right. Yeah. It's really made me bristle a little bit, maybe a lot bit, to be hearing like the last few years, it's been a part of the abortion argument, but that we need more workers. We got to have more babies because we need more workers in the workforce. Holy Christ. Yuck. I hate that. I hate hearing that. I don't know. And I'm not trying to get all political at all. Just that phrase really bothers me. We are just so damn determined to force people to just be workers. We want that to be your whole identity. We want it to be where you spend most of your time and your energy. We want that to be your real life. And, you know, home, family, friends, hobbies, that's secondary to being a worker. We're really bad for that, especially in the US. That's gross. And of course, we all have to work to live. I get it. Of course we do. That's just part of life. But if work is all you think about, and work is all you talk about, and you are constantly in a state of trying to figure something out because of work, or trying to deal with something because of work, or having your emotional body and your nervous system constantly jarred and messed up because of work. Is this the work you want? Asking for a friend called me. Just thoughts. Hey, Maureen, I see you. Yeah, I'll get to you, babe. Okay, so I was thinking about the show today and thinking about where I wanted to go with Luminous. I was thinking about how much love the moon gets in the New Age world and how much less love the sun seems to get. No one's hating on the sun, but we have our moon rituals, you know, we want to moon bathe, we want to go out and put our crystals out under the moon, make our moon water, the tides of the moon have you feel in a certain kind of way. The moon is where it's at, right? But what about the sun? You know, the giver of all life. I thought it would be fun to actually, in moving into Leo here, to give some attention to the fire, to the sun. And so, I gotta tell you guys, weirdly, I know it's just July, but early in the morning, when I'm getting up, like going out and feeding the crows, or we got up early, early yesterday. We had to make a really quick trip to Salt Lake City, so we got up early and left. I can smell fall. I know it's too soon. I get it, but it's there. What does fall smell like? I don't know. I can't put that into words, I don't think, but there's that crispness. That earthiness and crispness. I'm smelling it in the mornings. And we're still hot as hell, you know, right now. We're still getting into the 80s and 90s during the day, but it smells like fall out there, and I'm sticking to it. I'm going on Saturday to Salt Lake with my sisters to a concert. We're going to Melissa Etheridge and the Indigo Girls. And these are tickets I bought Kara for Christmas. At Christmas time, I really wanted to focus more on either a handmade gift, which I always give handmade gifts, but a handmade gift and or an experience. Because, you know, my sisters and I and in-laws, I mean, we're all pushing 50. We have good jobs, good lives, stability. We don't need anything, and we all live in houses crammed with stuff. There's all the stuff, right? So how much stuff do you really still need or want? So for me, I'm really honing in on handmade things, meaningful things, and experiences. Because those, the memories, they take up zero space in my house. But also can hang with you. So anyway, I had bought for Christmas, I made this plan that we would go to Indigo Girls and Melissa Etheridge in Salt Lake because Kara loves the Indigo Girls. Rhonda would do anything for Melissa Etheridge. So it's perfect. So our concert is on Saturday night. I am not gonna lie, I am very nervous about how I'm going to do because it's gonna be really hot. But we're going to drink a lot of water. We're going to rest this week. We're going to be ready. By God, it's going to be fine, right? Right. So, and then for my birthday, Christy and Rhonda bought me Cyndi Lauper tickets in Salt Lake in August. So we're going back. I ordered some of those feathers that clip into your hair, the long ones, you know, that we wore like back in the 80s. And I already have some blue eyeshadow, and we're gonna buy or make Cyndi Lauper t-shirts and cut them the way we used to, you know, on the sleeves. Yeah, we're going all 80s, all out. I'm super excited. It's gonna be very fun. So, at any rate, however, if you could send all of the cooling vibes you have to Salt Lake City on Saturday, that would be great. All right, so let's talk about harnessing the sun. All right, so I was thinking about the spiritual and historical significance of the sunrise. So I kind of broke this article into the sunrise and the sunset, because that seems to be where a lot of rituals reside, is either in the sunrise or the sunset, which, you know, I hope that you live in a place where the sky puts on a show. The sun puts on a light show here that we are very lucky to have, but we have absolutely incredible sunsets and sunrises, and I hope that you guys do too. I know some places are just more potent than others, but we really get a beautiful show here. We're lucky. Okay. So, in speaking of the sun, you have to talk about Egypt, right? The sun god Ra. This was the god that was believed to sail across the sky in a boat during the day. You know, the sun. Each morning, Ra emerged from the underworld after spending the night there, bringing the light to the world. The sun's daily journey was seen as a manifestation of life's eternal cycles, birth, death, and rebirth. We know, of course, that Egyptian temples and pyramids were aligned to capture the sun's rays at dawn. Again, that just reinforces that connection between divinity and the human world. I mean, we all know that if the sun were to wink out, That would be it for us very quickly. The sun supports all life on this earth. It feeds all life on this earth. Without the sun, there is no us. In ancient Greek, or Greece, they honored Helios, who was the sun god. He rode in a chariot across the sky each day. And the Greeks believed that the first rays of sunlight carried divine blessings and morning rituals, and that they were centered around invoking Helios's power for protection and clarity. We know that a lot of Greek temples were aligned to align with the sun, and that they marked key celestial events like solstices and equinoxes, and the sun was always a part of that, the returning of the light or the, leaving of the light, I guess. And then, of course, indigenous people here in North America, their view of the sunrise was rooted in relationships to land and the land cycles. For many tribes, the sunrise was a time to give thanks to the Great Spirit. This was a time to perform rituals to align with the natural rhythms of the earth and to ask for blessings for the coming day. Particularly if there was something going on, a hunt or a joining of people or a baby's birth or anything happening, they wanted to bring the sun into and the sunrise into their ceremony. So let's talk about sunrise rituals for you. Do you see the sunrise? Do you wake at a time that you see the sunrise? I mean, I know. I don't always either, and some days I do. It always depends, you know. Okay. But let's talk about some sunrise rituals for you. One is to set your intention while you sit with the sun rising. Focusing on specific intention for the day. Visualize this intention becoming a reality with the energy of the rising sun. We know that in ancient practices, this was a time to pray for prosperity, health, protection, or to seek guidance from the divine. One of the things that I love about sunrise work is how quiet it is, because most of the world is still asleep. And beating the chaos out of bed is an amazing feeling. Okay. Gratitude and blessing work. The first rays of the sun have been viewed as blessings from the divine. This is a great place to express gratitude for the sun and the sun's energy, for the light it brings, for the life it brings to our planet. It's also a place to offer thanks for the renewal of the day and the opportunity to move forward. I think that old adage, that it's a new day. Every day is a new day. Whatever happened yesterday, you might still have a mess to clean up here and there, but at the same time, let each day be a new day. Don't drag more drama into your heart and into your world and into your life than you need to. Energy clearing and renewal. Sunrise rituals can involve clearing any lingering negativity. Ancient Egyptians, for example, would purify their hearts and homes by cleansing with incense or sacred smoke. This was a practice that aligned kind of with Palo Santo or sage, Palo Santo more maybe, but this is an act that represents starting the day with a clean slate and an open heart. Or how about a grounding ritual? How would it feel to start the day very grounded and centered because of a bit of work that you did to set yourself up that way? So consider standing on the earth barefoot in the early morning hours, just really absorbing the grounding energy of the earth while the sun rises, and just letting yourself take both of those things in. The other part of that for me is that as the sun gets higher in the sky, and it gets hotter, I have less desire to be out in it. The sun is brutal to me. because of medication and stuff. And so when the sun is highest in the sky, I don't want anything to do with it. And honestly, safety-wise, a lot of us need to be very careful of how much sun you actually, direct sun you absorb, right? The sunrise and the sunset are both safer ways to experience the energy of the sun and worship with the energy of the sun. It makes more sense to me. All right, let's move on to the sunset. In ancient Egypt, the Egyptians believed that the god Ra traveled through the underworld, facing challenges and trials before facing being reborn the next morning. As he is heading into the underworld, the sun is setting. This was a time to surrender what doesn't serve, make peace with the cycle of life and death. Evening rituals were centered around protecting oneself from darkness, calling on gods like Osiris, the god of the afterlife, for peace and guidance during sleep. In ancient Mesopotamia, I'll try again. Ancient Mesopotamia, I can do this. In ancient civilizations, like in Sumer or Babylon, the setting sun was associated with Nergal. This was the god of the underworld and destruction. The sunset was also seen as an ushering in of darkness. It represents the death and rebirth process. Sunset rituals involved offerings and prayers to honor ancestors and spirits, ensuring a peaceful transition into the night. In Hinduism, this is the evening was a time to, or is a time to honor Surya, the sun god, and the goddess Chandra, who governs the moon. So this is a time that, with the setting of the sun, marks the closing of a day and the closing of spiritual practice. Ending maybe with a, boy, I'm going to struggle with that, Sandhya Vandana, where devotees meditate on the sun's journey and the need for balance between light and dark. So, what does that do for you? How about sunset rituals? Sitting with the sunset is a powerful time. I've talked a lot about a place that we like to camp, that we still like to go hang out at, called the Warm Slough. That's not very far from my house. And it's a part of, it's where the Teton River runs through. And the sunset there is the most magnificent setting of sun over the water that we have here, at least close up to my fingertips. And lots of times I like to go out there and look at that, just sit and watch the sunset. There's a lot of power in that. So let's talk about things you could do to actually do some ritual around it. So the setting sun carries potent magic for releasing, reflecting, and surrendering. So perhaps reflecting and releasing. Sitting with the sunset to acknowledge successes and challenges. You may be writing down thoughts and symbols and burning them. You may be journaling. You may just be speaking some things out loud or just expressing some gratitude, but just having some daily reflection with the sun set is a great way to just process and let go. Offer gratitude. As the sun sets, offer thanks for the lessons, blessings, and moments of clarity the day has brought. This is a great time, and I'll say this until the end of time, but operating emotionally in the space of an attitude of gratitude is an incredibly easy way and powerful way to manifest into your life. If you have gratitude for what you do have, if you have gratitude for the small things, for the flower, for the bee or the butterfly coming past, or this baby that smiled at you on the street, or any little thing, the cashier that said something kind about your blouse, whatever. When you experience gratitude for things like that, you're telling the universe, I want more of this. This is what I like. Bring more of this to me. So, experiencing and expressing gratitude for things that bring beauty into your life and happiness into your life is a great way to bring more of those things to you. How about a candle or fire ritual? Perfect timing. Light a candle at sunset, symbolizing the enduring presence of light even when darkness falls. This ritual connects with ancient traditions where fire and light were used to ward off evil spirits and bring clarity in times of darkness. The flame represents the continued burning of the soul's light through the night. It's a good time to do any kind of candle magic as well. Meditation or visualization. As the sun sinks, visualizing the darkness enveloping you with comfort and protection, just like the ancients did. Work like this always makes me feel so much more connected to my own ancestry. And I've talked about this a lot, and I think that some of you guys really resonate with this as well, but I feel very hungry for that connection to my ancestry that worships more like I do, that like for me personally, pre-Christianity, the old religions, the old ways, those are the things that resonate with my heart and soul. And I think that a lot of people feel homesick for or lonely for what they don't have in this lifetime, what they're not experiencing, because it's not where you are, it's not where we are now, right? But things like this, ceremony like this, helps me to feel much, much more connected to that part of myself that frequently I feel like I'm very lonesome for or hungry for. So there you have it, working with the sun. Kelly's article this week is about Vera Atkins. She was a psychological military mastermind in World War II. Last week, she had a show about another group of women who were, this was, they were a part of the spy network in World War II, and this woman is as well, and her story is amazing. I love that Kelly's digging all of these stories up. I didn't know anything about any of these women. Any of them. But they were powerful forces in World War II that deserve a whole lot of credit for the things that they did. So absolutely check this out. Yes, last week we talked about Operation Mincemeat, and now this week we're talking about Vera. Really cool stuff. So read the article, but then listen to the podcast, and you can do that right here at the top where it says episode link in pink. That's a hyperlink. So all you have to do is click on that, and it will take you straight to her podcast so that you can listen to it. Okay, my tip this week is charging with the sun. So we've talked about this before, but charging your magical items with the sun is really powerful. So it's always kind of been the old idea that you had to put your crystals out at night during the, or any magical tools at night over the full moon so that the moon could clear them, and then over the day the sun would charge them, or vice versa. You can also just work with the sun in this aspect to clear and charge your magical items. So, first and foremost, you'd want to find a safe spot to put your stuff out. I know for some people that's super simple where they live, and for other people that's a bigger challenge. And sometimes this may have to be in your house in a sunny window. That's okay too. But crystals, tools, talismans, jewelry, any other, your cards, anything else you use that you want to charge with the sun, that's what we're talking about. Set your intention. Before you put your stuff out, set a clear intention about what you're doing. You want to visualize the sun's rays purging any negative or stagnant energy from your items and then filling them up with fresh, positive energy. And then leave them out for a while. You can let them out, leave them out over the day, course of a day, or at least give them 30 minutes to 2 hours to just have that sun bath. Let that work happen. Hold gratitude. As your items soak in the sunlight, express gratitude for the sun's cleansing power. There's an argument about what's more powerful on this planet. Is it fire or is it water? Is it the sun Or is it the moon? I think that it doesn't matter because they're all in balance, and without one or without any of those things, there would be no us. But you can't deny the incredible power of the sun, as well as just the power of the of fire that's associated with the sun, for being incredibly devastating, incredibly powerful, incredibly capable. And then after your cleansing, once you feel like your items are charged and cleared, then pull them back out and use them and put them back into your magical practice. But easy thing to do. Why or when would you do a ritual like this? Well, sometimes it may be just that you are feeling stagnant yourself. Maybe there's stuff that you used to do spiritually that you just don't do anymore. That maybe it's just time to clear and recharge and reset. Sometimes it's just that it's been a while and you think maybe it's time to take a look at your stuff. That's okay too. Sometimes it's that if you have had stuff going on in your house, maybe you've had some trauma or some chaos, maybe you've been sick. That's another good reason. So you decide, but every so often is my best answer. You got to decide. If things feel like they need some work, they probably need some work. Christy's energy exercise this week is Archangel Raphael healing. Lots of crime, of course, over at True Crime Squad. And plenty of meditations for you over at Planet Meditation. A lot of it is just really good background music, new agey music to just have, playing as you go about your day. A lot of it too is really good for sleep and just settling down. So you decide how that works for you. A lot of the music that I've used for meditations are solfeggio tones or other kinds of music that's designed to help to balance you, to clear you, to energize your spirit. So there's just a lot of good stuff there. And that is it for Luminous this week. So hopefully you found something there that's useful for you. I should have told you beforehand, but we might not go a whole hour today. I've got stuff on my plate. So if we get through everything, I'm probably going to cut us out a little early just for that reason. Balance and everything, right? Okay, Maureen. Oh, Maureen went to Kenny Chesney. Oh, you've been in Vegas, huh? She said, my sister and I did Kenny Chesney at the Sphere in Las Vegas. We're headed back for her 70th birthday in November to see the Eagles and Jackson Browne. How fun. What did you think of the Sphere? I've only seen the outside of it. I haven't been within. I mean, it's cool as hell, but what's it like inside? Marine, I know you also had an energy request. SI joints are killing her, along with her mast cell activation inflammation. Just feeling like crap. Yeah, travel. Ugh. Absolutely. And also, I think these solar flares. I know, I'm a broken record. It used to be once in a rare while we'd have some solar flares and we might notice them, but lately, this last year especially, when are we not having solar flares? And no disrespect to the sun, I know. But dang it. Seems like there's been a lot. It really affects the way people feel. Maybe that's our next job is to figure out how to work with those flares to energize us rather than scramble us. Okay, Maureen, let's get on it. Doing some good clearing. Vegas is so energetically filthy. I know. If you've been to Las Vegas, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It is so energetically filthy and draining. There's a lot of fun to be had in Vegas too, don't get me wrong, but oh man, it's an energetic drain. So I'm just going to give you a really good clearing first, Maureen. You really need that. Okay. All right. Now let's do some inflammation work for those SI joints. I'm going to call in the ethereal properties of aquamarine and sterling silver. I'm going to use that energy in ribbons down your back and all the way through your SI joints. Now run those 3 times. All right, one more. Okay, good. That is done. So I'm just going to put a Herkimer diamond in your crown chakra too, because your physical energy is pretty low too. So we'll place that to help you feel better that way too, and get some good light around you. It's very pink. Perfect. Good, Maureen. We'll hold space that helps you, and that, a little rest here helps get you back on your feet. Though I am glad that you had a lot of fun and saw a cool concert. I mean, yay. So we'll take it. And Laura's got some drama at her house. Let's see. She said they're having some weird stuff with smoke alarms going off and curious if someone's trying to send a message. She wondered if it could be her mother-in-law who passed on April 1st. And my condolences to you, my friend. And Mika could use some calming energy and comfort. Absolutely. Yeah, the smoke alarms ruin her. Yeah, man, they do a lot of dogs. Okay. So let's turn into your house first. I think you're right on the money with the smoke alarms. I'm just gonna ask her. Yeah, she's just wanting acknowledgement. So I'm gonna ask her to stop doing that because it's of the house and creates fear and also creates so much fear for Mika. I'm going to ask her to look for a different way to let you know that she's present. But also, Laura, if I were you, I would just every day acknowledge her presence because she's really thick around you guys. She's well, don't worry. It's not a bad thing. There's a lot of healing happening for her right now. But she's really close around you guys, and I feel like just some daily acknowledgement would really help with her, sending signals like this. But I am asking her to stop doing the fire alarm thing or the smoke alarm thing and look for something that isn't quite so jarring. And then Mika, I'm just reminding her that you are always here and that you always have her best interest at heart and that she needs to lean on that. And remember that trust. And she does trust you, not that she doesn't. She's just, getting a little fear going that's kind of making her a little bit irrational about that. So I'm just reminding her that she is safe and that if it wasn't safe, that you would remove her. And that we're working on the beeps to try and get them under control so that this just doesn't keep happening. Yeah. Ah, what a good girl. Yeah. Hey, Trish. Maureen said the sphere was incredible. If you have vertigo, it could be fatal. Ooh, yeah. And Vegas was not my vibe. No, I get it. It's not mine either. My mom lived in Vegas as a teenager, and my great grandpa still lived there until just a few years ago. So, as a kid, we were back to Vegas every so often, to see family. And it was a treat then to get to go to Vegas. As a young adult, going to Vegas was fun. The first time I took my kids to Vegas was the most miserable trip in existence, and they loved it. Always asked to go back. Remember that time we went to Vegas? It was so fun. And I'm like, what are you talking about? It was awful. But they thought it was fun. We found ourselves in a dangerous situation, really. We had gone to Fremont Street and we took the bus back and apparently got on a bus that only went as far as the bus depot. And then just kicked you out, and you had to wait for another bus to come along to get the rest of the way back to the strip. And it was like a 40-minute wait, and it was 1 o'clock in the morning. And it was cold. So we sat on bus benches with literally nobody around. Like it was the most unsafe thing we've ever done. Thanks, BB. And sat there with all of our little kids, my little Jack and Mia, niece and nephew included. Waiting for this bus, thinking we are the worst parents and the worst country bumpkin kind of travelers that have ever happened. This is so unsafe. Luckily, we were fine and nothing happened. But I just went. I cannot roll with Vegas's vibe. So I don't know. We haven't really been back since. We've driven through a couple of times going to Tucson, but I don't know. I'm not feeling it. And if you live in Vegas and you love it, more power to you. Nothing against it. It's just exhausting to me. My spirit can't do it. I mean, it probably could if I had to, but you know how it is. Okay, Sherry. Yes, I asked her to be more gentle with her message, Laura. I showed her something with light, like maybe we just see like a prism flash around the room or something like that that isn't frightening. Yeah. So we'll see. She'll have to decide how she comes forward, but I'm hoping, yeah, that she can find something that's less terrifying than that, for sure. Sherry, any suggestions about my work environment? Oh, man. Christy used to use this analogy energetically that, you should make like Superman and fly above the energy that you're in sometimes so that you don't get pulled down into it. And that was my first hit, Sherry, when I looked at your work environment, is that we've got to find a way to get you above it because it's thick and it's sticky and it pulls you down into other people's stuff. I feel like people that you work with aren't necessarily doing a great job of separating work and home. And so a lot of people that are coming to work are, having home challenges and whatnot, and they're bringing that to work with them, or vice versa. But that's the first thing that comes through for me is that you get up above it, and refuse to be down in that. So how do you do that? I mean, it is a visualization. Visualing yourself or visualizing, visualing, that's not a word. Visualizing yourself, really raising yourself above that, holding your vibe above the chaos, the intensity, the backbiting, the stuff, and just staying above it. That may also mean conversing less with, if possible, kind of just keeping yourself aside from any drama that's happening there. If you have a desk, Sherry, put a piece of selenite on your desk, like a little selenite tower. Or any piece of selenite, whatever works for you. But selenite helps to it's known as a master clearing stone, or the great transmuter. And the Great Transmuter transmutes heavier energy into light. So anytime you work in a space where there's a lot of other people, I always recommend selenite because it helps to just kind of clear out some of the nonsense and keep it moving. Yep. Oh, good. She has a lit 2-foot one. Fantastic. Oh, I love those. A big cathedral. That's fantastic. Yep. That is excellent. Yep. Yep. And an easy technique at work, Sherry, if you're feeling gummed down by other people, is to just go in the bathroom and wash your hands. Let the cold water really wash over your hands for a while. Give it a good minute to, and just envision all of the work sludge, all of the bullshit going on here to just clear out of you and run down the sink. Yeah. Your feelings are hurt. Yeah. I just don't trust your office. I feel like the people that you work with are all in survival mode, whether it's because, again, like I said, because of home stuff or because of work stuff, but they are not their best selves. You're upset they got to you? Yeah. Yeah, but you, it's okay to acknowledge your feelings and acknowledge your feelings are hurt. You're not a robot. You're a human being, and you're a sensitive woman that feels things. Sensitive woman, that came across really weird. I didn't mean that to mean like all women are sensitive or something like weirdly chauvinistic at all. I just meant, of course your feelings got hurt. That happens. Yeah. I'm so sorry for that, dang it. But I will hold space with you that you can stay above it and focus all of your energy on the great things you have going on in your life outside of work. Trish, could you tune into my friend Lynn who passed Thursday? I'm so sorry about Lynn. Trish, I was reading about that from Kathy. Damn it. Yeah, absolutely. You're right. She's still finding her way. It was a huge shock. She's still holding pretty tight to some of her friends, some of you guys. Like she knows where she's going, don't get me wrong, but she's slowly making her way there. I think whatever ceremony you want to hold for her, Trish, would be helpful. She is feeling a lot of love, though, from her community and a lot of support in her passing. But yeah, huge, huge shock for her. She said she'll be around to talk to every single one of you. Yeah. I'm so sorry. Dang it. Very sad to see that. Sid said, wouldn't it be nice if we didn't have to expend so much of our loving energy to manage the behaviors of crazy people every day? Yes, it would. I know a lot of you guys are dealing with things like that within your families, your work structures, your homes, the world at large, just feeling like you're just holding on. Yeah. Oh, Jane, you've got a ticket to Indigo Girls in August. Oh, hopefully it'll work out. You know what? We're Ubering. We got a hotel as close as we could, and we're going to Uber so that we can get dropped off close because I am not walking very far these days. These legs are, they're big jerks. trying to love them, but yeah. So that's our plan is to just Uber as close to the door as we can, and then Uber back to the hotel when it's over. I think it's the best option, at least for us. Yes, I knew you'd do ceremony for her. Yeah, that's very, very needed in this case. Yeah. All right. Well, you guys, we've done it. We have talked down to the end of the show. So I will be back next week. Mine is outdoor. Yeah. 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 And we have lawn seating. So, that's what I wanted. I don't like being shoulder to shoulder with other people that much. I really like the lawn seating event where you can kind of have your own little, encampment. I'm good with that. And where we're going, yeah, there's a lot of space. Like it's nice that way. Yep. Oh, yours on concrete, Jane? Oh, dear God. No. Oh, gosh. Okay. Well, I do want to remind you that I am a professional psychic advisor over at One Two Listen, and you can find me over there every day, doing all kinds of readings, animal communication. I can support you with energy work. I do a ton of energy work actually at One Two Listen, and I would be happy to support you in any way that I can. So just come over to onetolisten.com. That's number one, number two, listen.com, and look for me, Katie Weaver. And if I'm signed in, call. That means I'm ready to work. If I'm not there, and I'm there every day, but if I'm not there and you need me, just do a callback request. Then I get a text that lets me know you're waiting on me, and I'll get signed in and be with you as soon as I can. So that's how that works. You can also do an email reading so that we just correspond that way. And there's an option in my email readings for a video reading too, so that I just speak to you and send you the video so that you can experience that. Or you can chat. We have a great chat function too. Some of you guys, I have clients that want to listen that I've had for over a decade that I have never spoken to on the phone. They are chat only, and that is totally okay. That's what it's there for. However, you're comfy connecting, it's perfect for me. So, thanks so much for being here, guys. I will be back next week, same place, same time. You've been listening to The Katie Weaver Show here on One Two Radio, where we're changing the way you listen to the world.